Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tonight, Tony Award winner Richard Greenberg's new play, The Assembled Parties, opens at Manhattan Theater Club in New York City. It's been in previews since March 21st, and it's scheduled to run through June 2nd. The Assembled Parties welcomes us to the world of the Boskovs, an Upper West Side Jewish family in 1980. In a sprawling Central Park West apartment, former star Julie Boskov and her sister-in-law, Faye, bring their families together for their traditional holiday dinner. But tonight, things are not usual. A house guest has joined the festivities for the first time, and he unwittingly, or perhaps by design, insinuates himself into the family drama. In Act Two, 20 years later, as 2001 approaches, the Boskovs' seemingly picture-perfect life may be about to crumble. The play is directed by Manhattan Theater Club's artistic director Lynn Meadow, and the cast includes Tony and two-time Emmy winner Judith Light, Tony nominee Jeremy Shamos, and Tony nominee Jessica Hecht. Jessica Hecht's other Broadway credits include The Last Night of the Ballyhoo, After the Fall, Julius Caesar, Brighton Beach Memoirs, A View from the Bridge, and Harvey. Recent television credits include AMC's Breaking Bad and HBO's Bored to Death. I spoke with Jessica in New York City a few weeks ago. Jessica Hecht, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
It's great to see you again. Tell us about The Assembled Parties. How did you get this project? What appealed to you about doing it?
I've known Rich Greenberg, the writer of The Assembled Parties, which is such a great title, because at this certain moment in the play, I actually, you know, echo the significance of the line. So it makes complete sense once you're there. But I've known Rich for several years. I did a play at Lincoln Center with him called The House in Town, which remains my parents' favorite play that I have ever done. And I have done many great revivals of of magnificent plays. And The House in Town remains their favorite. So I love that. And Rich is, he's honestly has one of the most incredible minds, both literary-wise and in terms of, like, human emotion. His understanding of sort of the human experience, I think, is unparalleled. So when he asked me to do a reading of this about a year ago, actually almost exactly a year ago, I was thrilled, and it's an incredibly powerful play. There was no way that if it was going to happen, I wasn't going to beg to do it. So that's how it happened.
Since it's a new play, listeners won't be familiar with the story of it. Would you tell us a little bit, obviously not asking for spoilers, but a little bit about the story of the play?
Sure. It's a tricky one because there are spoilers. The basic construct of the play is that it takes place on Christmas, the evening of Christmas in 1980. That's the first act. And I've assembled both my immediate family and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their daughter to our sprawling apartment on the Upper West Side. And we're a very seemingly delicious, affluent family who live in a sprawling 14-room apartment in one of those buildings that everybody sort of looks at and thinks, wow, everybody must be really happening in there.
Right.
And
and
I have two kids. I have a 21-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I was a movie star for a minute. I was discovered and did about 4 movies and then was swept off my feet by my husband. And so I have these two great boys, and my son has just graduated from Princeton, and he's brought home his dear friend. So that's who comes to dinner. And then 20 years later, the same evening, Christmas, the year 2000, some of us are remaining.
Great. And I read the playwright said, with the act set 20 years apart, he likes the idea of accelerated time. He says time can be a powerful force. What's the trick of playing the same character 20 years in the future in the second act?
Yeah, oh, that's such a great question, and that's such a profound comment he made about that, which I will have to think about when when I step on stage tonight. Well, the thing is that, as my grandmother said when she was 100 and just about to pass away, she said, "It's so funny how you still feel the same way." She had fallen for a guy at the nursing home who died, and she was heartbroken. And she said, "But it's still the same feeling, you know." And I think that's what happens 20 years later. All the feelings you have, and all the things you've passed through, that's the miracle of the of life and of time in this play, especially the things you pass through and are able to process, and the things that change you, you know? I mean, like, what really changes somebody is really very interesting, and that's what he plays upon. And who we think we're going to be in 20 years is really unbelievable, yeah.
Have you worked with anybody that's in this cast with you before?
I have worked with Jonathan Walker, who plays my husband, and that is it. And Rich, yeah, those two. And our stage management team, who I adore.
Have you done a show with Manhattan Theater Club before?
I have not. I have done probably 25 readings that would be like, you know, 50 hours of time sitting in their office. I've never done a play there. I love that theater, and Lynn has been just an inspired director and a wonderful person to work with, truly wonderful.
Lynn Meadow, you just mentioned, is the artistic director of the Manhattan Theater Club and is directing this play. What is it like working with her? How what kind of director is she?
Well, she is incredibly bright and articulate about what she feels the play holds and what she feels the play is about or what she's interested in the play. And she's meticulous about finding that. And she's extremely, extremely warm and nurturing and sort of, you know, somebody you think, oh, when we're done, I have to come over and tell you all my secrets. But she's very... she's a very touching person because she's accomplished a tremendous amount in her life, but she tries to keep you sort of, you know, enclosed in this little bubble while you're working, and it's really very special, and it is touching because you think about how the scope of what she's doing, you know, in her life and in her career, and the feeling of the rehearsal room is very intimate.
Before we started rolling, you mentioned you're going up to your house in Williamstown, which is, of course, in our immediate listening area, this weekend or next week. Your schedule permits for you to take some time off and go to Massachusetts?
I literally dream about getting to... if I was in that house right now, I love the Berkshires. I grew up not far from the Berkshires, and so I was lucky enough to spend... I have been lucky enough to spend several seasons at Williamstown, and every year we look for houses, and I finally found one. And so I will leave, you know, late Sunday night when we're done, get up there and wake up in my house and come back on Tuesday morning.
The last time that I had a chance to see you on stage and to speak with you was when you did Streetcar at Williamstown a couple of summers ago. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the playwright was not in the room. Mr. Tennessee Williams is, of course, no longer with us. What is the difference between working on a play where the playwright is alive and one where they're not?
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting because I was really thinking about that. Rich has been extremely busy this season, so he's just come to us. Really, the last week he's been in rehearsal and watching the run-throughs. And last night he was able to articulate why a certain section of the play should flow in this manner. When he was articulating it, he described how actually time and certain information might speed up your whole sense of possibility and of clarity about your life. And he articulated in such an intimate way that you can kind of think about all these things when you're doing Streetcar, and you can certainly attach yourself to the history of what that play is and what those people are, but you can't really hear what somebody meant when they compressed dialogue and when they put ellipses in and when they you know, said there are no beats here, it's only the scene, there's no extra time taken, you don't have time to ponder. And that's just profound, and that it makes you really, really want to do it well. You really want to do what that person is asking because you know it comes from a very specific place in their experience.
Doing theater in New York City or anywhere else, again, like Williamstown, but of course anywhere in the country or in the Berkshires or anywhere. Is there a different kind of energy being in New York City, in Manhattan, when you do theater? Or is it your job and it feels about the same wherever you do it?
Oh, that's such a great question. In New York, it definitely feels like this privileged job because you walk through you know, you walk through the streets, you walk through the sort of Broadway district, and you think, God, I'm actually, this is my work. This is what I do for my job. I do shows in this place. And it feels, it feels like a significant accomplishment that I have to really honor, that I have to really be good at. And it's not that I don't feel that same sense when I'm in Williamstown, which is just my favorite place, but I feel there's a sense of creativity and a sense of a little more freedom. Not that it's not my job, but that it's almost like I'm performing in this little community, and there's a little more forgiveness, maybe. Not that the standards aren't high, but I feel part of a community, and I don't think of it as being quite as pressured, perhaps. Yeah, yeah. New York, you know, you look up, you see your picture, you're like, who is that? That person? That's weird. Now I really have to do a good job.
Your parents, according to the internet, so this could be false, were a psychotherapist and a physicist. Is that true?
Yes, that is exactly true. My dad was a physicist, my mom was a psychotherapist, and my stepfather was a psychiatrist. They're all still thriving in Connecticut, but they're all retired. So yeah, I had a lot of, brains in the, I don't know how else to describe it. I had a lot of people at work in my house, sort of thinking about the bigger picture, which always makes me feel slightly, I guess, frivolous, because I think they were actually doing things. But they love the theater. So
they were always supportive of your pursuit of this career?
Yeah, they were. They were worried that I wouldn't make a living, but they were supportive of it. They urged me to, you know, really do it well, do it seriously, which was, I think that was very unique, because they had all grown up in New York and had a great respect for the theater, as they saw it. Really serious performers, and they loved great musicals, but they loved the opera, and they loved, they loved sort of the classics. And so their reference for doing theater was really quite elevated, you know, from the people that they responded to were really the great artists. And so the fact that I like worked with Arthur Miller, that was their, you know, or somebody of that stature, or my first teacher was Morris Karnofsky, who was this great actor from the group theater. Those are the people they saw when they were in New York, you know, when they were growing up. So they wanted me to do it in a really responsible way, which I deeply, deeply appreciate.
Your husband is a director. Do you ever work with him?
I occasionally work with him. I worked with him on the super duper show Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time we worked together. We'd had many near misses, because we work with the same people, and so he'll be on a show and I'll be coming to do an episode, and then suddenly the lineup falls out. We have a really kind of wonderful old school relationship, and we come home and talk about homework and kids and parents and things, and we don't, our relationship wasn't created because of work, and so it's wonderful when we work together, and it's actually very practical. It's kind of lovely. He's a superb director, and I think I probably would be nervous that I would screw up.
I'm sure you would be fine. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today, for being on the round table again.
Such a pleasure. I'm such a fan of this show. I can envision myself driving in the car next week thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be on this.
Thanks again. Have a great run with the Assembled Parties.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Jessica Hecht stars in Manhattan Theater Club's production of the Assembled Parties. The show opens tonight and is scheduled to run through June 2nd. For more information, visit theassembledpartiesbroadway.com. To learn more about Manhattan Theater Club's current and upcoming productions, visit manhattantheaterclub.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.